This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and I'm coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And with me is my grandson, Jared. He's the engineer on this, and also with me, in case you hear a little feminine voice piping up every now and then, who is this?
Hannah Brim.
Hannah, do you do, you want to talk a little bit about what you do monthly?
Just the Lord had impressed in my heart to have a prayer school. And for anyone's welcome, but here at Prayer Mountain, and anyone's welcome, but mainly, you know, for this generation.
What is your heart
pray
for this generation?
For this generation to grab hold of your
generation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just young adults to, you know, they're so hungry and just grab hold of those things and prayer and to see it, you know, because sometimes I think that it helps when they see a young person or someone, you know, it just encourages them to pray. And
how long have you been praying, Hannah?
About 100 years. No, just since I was little, you know, a little girl. And
you're how old now?
24.
I know of your praying back, well, I mean, when you were really little, like three and four years old. One of your specialties was stopping storms.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I just remember Coco, my dog, and I would be outside, and I just thought it was fun to do that, to talk to the sky. And I don't know if I saw you do it or who I saw do it, but it was just fun to me to do it.
And then you developed a relationship with the Lord very young.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Hannah, it's just amazing to me how you've always prayed. And you've always really prayed in a deep prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time when Shelly and I, how old were you when the Amon thing happened?
Sixth grade, either 11 or 12 years old.
And Shelly and I are in Israel. And we're over there. We're going to be doing a tour, but we were resting at the Dead Sea, either before or after the tour. And the Dead Sea is what the Bible calls a salt sea. And the western shore is Israel, and the eastern shore is Jordan. So anyway, tell me what you called, what you said when you called me.
I believe I emailed you and sent you an email.
Yes, you did. You emailed.
I just remember it, you know, just like a heavy, well, now, you know, just like an impression to pray. I just knew it was something that needed to be prayed, you know, about. You know, like it was something, I just knew it was serious
and
to
you,
pray.
And you had in your email, as I remember, you said, do you know anyone named Amon?
Yeah, I thought it was a...
You thought it was a person.
A person, a man.
And so how did it
a
come?
A man, I thought Amon, A-M-M-A-N, I thought a man. Uh-huh. First I thought it was a man and Amon, I just...
Uh-huh, and you said, do you know anyone named Amon? And you prayed it and prayed it, and you said it was so serious.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, Amon is the capital of Jordan, and it was the name of one of the sons of Lot, Moab and Amon. And what we learned was happening at that very time. It was so heavy. You told me it was so heavy on you, and your brothers were making fun of you. Brothers being Jared, who's in this room, and Brandon. And it was, why did they know you were praying this? How did they know?
I probably was loud in my room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was like groaning and just travail, you know.
So you've been knowing groaning and travail for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she would tell me about this. Well, what I learned was there were some chemical weapons that had belonged, I believe, to Saddam Hussein, I'm not sure, but they had been in a storage place. Three trucks had come in and gotten them, and they had headed out with those chemical weapons. And it was their plan to go to Amman, Jordan, to go to the Allenby Bridge, which is the bridge between Israel and Jordan, and another spot, I've forgotten, and blow them up. Well, long story short, they caught them. But God, Hannah, he needed someone to pray. He needed someone to stop them. And the one that he had that would yield, and you've always yielded to him. That's one thing I notice about you. You yield. If it's a spirit of travail, you yield. And you have since you were a little bitty girl. And so she was probably being loud in her room, groaning and traveling and praying about Amon. And I told her, I said, don't worry about your brothers. I said, your mother's brothers used to make fun of her. And now look at them now. One's Chip, he's preaching the gospel and co-pastoring up at Collinsville. And Terry, he's the general manager here at Prayer Mountain. At that time he was not, but he was living for God. And I said, look where they are now. They don't laugh at her now, but they did when she was a little girl, because she would see, your mother would always see over into the spirit realm. And her brothers would make fun of her for that, if she'd see an angel or hear angels singing. I said, don't worry about those brothers. Just pray. Get the job done. And the job was done because God needed someone to yield to him. And that someone was a little girl. But that little girl had something that God needed. And what does he need? You know, it's been about a month ago now. I awoke one morning. Oftentimes when I hear from God's first thing when I wake up my eyes in the morning, I think that's because our mind is quiet and our body. And I heard, a body hast thou prepared for me. A body hast thou prepared for me. I don't mean it was an audible voice. I just mean I heard that phrase over and over. I knew where that phrase was in the Bible. And I knew that Jesus is the one who said it. And in the New Testament in Hebrews, it records it. But it was also prophesied in the book of Psalms. And I knew it applied to the anointed one. But I had the sense, Hannah, when I woke up that morning when he was saying, a body hast thou prepared for me, that he was talking to me about something further, about another level of meaning. A body hast thou prepared for me. Now, when I got up, of course, I go straight to the Bible, and I look in there, and I see where it's written, the scripture that's going around to me. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. That was the English Standard Version, and the King James says, starting with verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So this tells us that God didn't get a particular satisfaction out of immolated animals. But what God was showing was that blood could cover sin. And eventually blood could take away sin. And when Jesus came, he lived in a human body. He could not have done what he did without Mary being his mother. And God provided a body that he could take as a sacrifice and pour out his innocent blood for all of our sins. Now, I knew that it says there in Hebrews that God has prepared him a body. And I knew that it is quoting that when Jesus said, "A body hast thou prepared for me," it is quoting Psalm 40, verse 6. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required. Then said I," now this is a prophecy, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, thy law is within my heart." So God prepared for Jesus a body to offer on that cross. That cross is like an altar. And the high priest is the one who condemned him. So he, Caiaphas, he had bought off his office, really. But he stood in the office that could offer the sacrifice. And of course, Jesus carried our sins. He carried our sicknesses. He carried everything to the cross for us. You know, I thought about it and I wrote in my book, The Blood and the Glory. Each one of those little lambs. It says in the Bible that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So in the mind of God, I saw that God, there was a council room, there was a moment in heaven before Adam was ever created, that God had said, if one would come and he would live in a human body, I'm going to put a man in the earth. I'm going to, already Satan had fallen. But I need a man. I need someone to work with me. But I know he's going to sin, and I know he's going to fall. You see, Jesus isn't an afterthought to Adam's sin. Before Adam came into this world, God already. He had designed a creature, Adam. His name means of blood. Dom in Hebrew is blood. And Adam is blood. Dom is red. So he made a man of the earth. Adama is earth. He made a man of the earth. He put him in an earthen vessel. He knew that man would sin. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. But he knew that if one would come and live a perfect life in that body, then that vessel, he put the life in the blood. God put the life in the blood. The life is in the blood, Leviticus says. So if one would come and live a perfect life in a body, and then he would pour out his blood, God could save all mankind. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Sacrifices, burnt animals, you didn't. That's not what you were after. You were after. Each one of them stood for the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Each one of them showed a microcosm, a picture of the lamb that was going to come and live in a body, and shed his blood, and man's sin would be wiped away. That is the initial meaning of "a body hath thou prepared for me." But tomorrow, we're going to talk about something further that the Lord revealed to me recently when I woke up in the morning and I heard him say, "A body hast thou prepared for me." So, Hannah and I are going to say shalom, shalom from Prayer Mountain, but we're going to be back here tomorrow in this very place, and we're going to talk about how God needs you. How God needs you. This is Billy Brim saying shalom.